Nursery Gardener, brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
And good Saturday morning to you from downtown Bartlesville. Again, this is the Green Country Gardener. I'm your host, Garrett Giles, and joining me is Larry Glass. If you have any questions about gardening here on this Saturday morning, feel free to give us a call at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And again, we have a full hour on the way right now with Larry Glass, the Green Country Gardener. Larry, what's happening in the garden this
week? Good morning, Garrett. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Golly, in the garden? No, you don't need to water, does it?
No, not at all. I would imagine with how much rain we got this past week, it wouldn't be that much of an issue.
If you have your impatiens and your caladiums in the ground, they're loving it. Yeah. We just got a load of periwinkles.
Okay.
Periwinkles like it hot and dry. So
it's going to be hot and dry a little bit this weekend.
I think today.
Yeah, definitely today. I should say today.
Maybe
a little
bit
Saturday.
Tomorrow.
I forget what day it is sometimes.
Yeah. It's cloudy on Sunday. I have 78 or so. But anyway, it's spring and we get a lot of rain this time of year. So a lot of your annuals get a good boost. If you did your, here we go with the soil preparation again. If you did your soil prep right. But anyway, it is time to plant annuals and perennials in the garden. And we do have periwinkles, like I said. They like the heat. And we'll not grow until we have a consistent above 50 degree weather for your periwinkles. We're not having it yet. So anyway, yeah, I forgot to charge my phone. And also, we have a good selection of trees and shrubs too. All your favorites are there. Elephant ears. I planted three last year. I planted 10 this year.
Okay. Why so many this year?
Well, they tend to branch out and make more bulblets.
Okay.
So you divide them and divide and conquer with the elephant ears. And they're just now barely starting to come up. And I did a rather large preparation, got a pick out there and was able to actually grind through the rock and the heavy soil and the tree stumps and got a good enough soil to grow the elephant ears with the help of a significant amount of compost and a significant amount of grass clippings and leaves and things. They really, really like organic soil.
Okay.
And we have a lot of rather large elephant ears for sale at the nursery, too. So get off to a good start. And you can get off to a good start by putting those in right about now. So
how much are elephant ears at the nursery?
They're $12, $16 around there, around that price range. They're not three in a bad kind. They're individual.
Yeah.
They're good sized plants. We sold out of the big $20 ones. They usually go first ones to go, the great big football size ones. But we do have some that are bigger than a softball, put it that way.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
So anyway, they ought to make a really good show. I like to use them for backgrounds, very tropical look. And low level screenings. Mine got 8 feet tall last year, so.
All right.
So they get pretty good size pretty quickly. Anyway. A good selection of perennials as well. Perennials, come back every year. They give you some color throughout the summer. They have a bloom time. However, there are some that bloom very consistently throughout the summer. So you can pick a couple of those out too to kind of bridge the gaps where the others aren't blooming. So perennials, the timing is very important in planting your perennial garden and sizing and how big they get and so on. So we can advise on what perennials to put in what part of the garden, how big they're going to get, and what you might expect as far as them getting larger and making bigger plants is concerned too. So we have a good selection and we can help out in picking out which ones you might want.
What kind of perennials do you have again? I'm sorry.
Oh golly, anything from basket of gold alyssum to echinaceae. We have some of the new butterfly bushes that have really large blooms on them. We grew those ourselves because we couldn't get them anywhere. We had to buy clones and grow them on. And we've really had a good response to those, and hopefully they're going to show some promise. Some of them are even beginning to bloom at this point. So butterfly bush is one that is becoming very popular too, because they attract the butterflies, the monarch butterflies and others. And they're pretty. They smell good too.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds
like
them also.
Pretty plants with beautiful butterflies. That sounds pretty cool, yeah.
Hummingbirds like them too. We have some perennial lantana also that the hummingbirds and the butterflies like, so... we've got a lot of that stuff. So, and a lot of people are planting butterfly gardens, per se. The Asclepias isn't quite ready yet. It's kind of a hot plant. The Asclepias is the butterfly weed, and they're just simply not ready yet. They'll be ready shortly. Gary's got a bunch of them coming on.
Why are they not ready yet?
They like it warm.
Okay.
And when you sell something in a container, the root system has to be established enough to where when you take it out of the container, it doesn't shatter. Should stay pretty consistent, in other words. And when they reach that point, then they're ready for sale.
Okay. And when do you think they'll probably be on ready for sale then?
Oh, a couple of weeks or so. If the sun shines.
Yeah, if the sun shines.
If the sun shines, they'll be ready. So another thing people, they have big questions about is their lawn. And they bring in weeds. What is this weed in my yard? Mm. And typically we have a solution for that. Lawn fertilization is getting a little bit late to fertilize that fescue grass. It'll be slowing down for the summer here pretty soon. So you might want to get on the ball and for your fescue and get that going, get it ready for summer. Very important also on the fescue grass to get it mowed a little bit on the high side in preparation for the heat. So if you've been lowing your fescue fairly low, you'll want to raise it up a little bit to for it to end. And able to withstand the heat coming on and water requirements and so on. And it's also very important on the fescue grass to permit the soil surface to dry considerably, let me get it out, one of those days, between waterings. In other words, don't leave it wet. That's kind of hard to do right now.
Just a little bit, yeah. Right. And it might be for the next week or so. We got like rain all the way up until like Thursday. So.
Oh, I've seen people sprinkler system just rattling away in the rain. And come on, people, get a rain sensor.
Jeez. Right.
It's a lot cheaper than wasting water. But anyway, so let that fescue grass dry out between the waterings, and it should do better. You shouldn't get this stem rot that they can get when it rains consistently like this. However, it's not really been overly warm. So the conditions aren't really overly suitable for the production of Phytophthora, which is a stem rot in zoysia grass. The conditions haven't been warm enough for that to really occur yet. So, but it's going to happen. And I guess a good point is don't systematically water your fescue grass every other day. You want to apply 1 inch of water at a fairly distant interval between those waterings.
Okay.
Maybe twice a week. You might pick out, say, Tuesday and Saturday or something to irrigate that, rather than Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every single
right.
day. It's not a water grass. And by watering a whole lot, speaking of water grass, we have a problem with crabgrass, too, when you water a whole lot.
What else should people be doing in preparation for summertime?
Make sure you have a... after you put all your shrubs and your annuals in, you put a layer of mulch on there. And that will help conserve moisture and help cut back on the weeds. I was at somebody's house yesterday, and they said, golly, how do I get rid of it? Put a weed mat down. I said, weed mat does a fair job of controlling weeds. It's not the end-all that they really say it is. So a 2-inch layer at the least, or 3-inch at the best, layer of mulch does a very good job of controlling weeds. And her wife piped in and said, yeah, I use the mulch, the heavy mulch down over there. We don't have any weeds in that part of the house.
Right.
So
there was the solution right there.
Yeah. I said, we use the weed mat when we encounter gravel. Somebody might want a gravel mulch on there. And that keeps the soil from integrating into the gravel. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to get weeds growing in your weed mat, if you will. And the Bermuda grass will actually pierce through it. And grow as the stolons progress. They're rather pointed, then they go through the weed mat. So we found that just the best solution is maintain a good layer of mulch.
And you were saying there's not much time left to mulch. How much time would you say is left to mulch?
Well, timing meaning in order to conserve the moisture that's in the ground right now, and to get your plants used to being mulched and get them established real well. Yeah. Some things are like tomatoes, you don't want to mulch yet because okay. they like a warm ground temperature, and the mulch helps keep the ground cool. So at this point in time, when we do have some sun, you want it to warm up the ground real well. And after the soil reaches a certain temperature, say 60 degrees, 60, 65 degrees, then you can put the mulch down and help keep the weeds under control.
Okay.
But the tomatoes have kind of stalled out, really. It's been too chilly for them. They really like it warm.
So again, in a couple of weeks, whenever it warms up just a little bit, it'd probably be better for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the middle of May will probably hit 100 degrees.
Fingers crossed that it doesn't.
I hope not. Oh, my goodness.
At least upper 80s. We could save the hundreds for, like,
well,
July.
Maybe this will be another summer where it won't get to be 100. That'd be so nice.
Yeah. Okay, we will find out before too long. It's 8:19. I think we'll take our first break here on the Green Country Gardener. And if you have any questions for Larry Glass on this Saturday morning, feel free to give us a call at 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. And again, we'll list those numbers when we come back from the break.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Join the celebration of survivors and caregivers on Saturday, May 18th at Johnstone Park Pavilion in Bartlesville as part of the Relay for Life of Nowata, Osage, and Washington Counties. Beginning at 4 p.m. and going until 10 p.m., there will be food trucks, a live auction, luminaries, team fundraisers, and a live DJ. It's never too late to start your own team or come join us for a few laps around the park and support, celebrate, and pay tribute to family and friends who have fought cancer. This fundraising event benefits the American Cancer Society. We hope to see you this year at Relay for Life.
And we are back with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, on this Saturday morning. We do have a caller on the line. Again, if you have any calls that you'd like to make this morning, any questions you'd like to ask Larry Glass, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, we won't keep the caller any longer, Larry. Good morning, caller. How can we help you on this Saturday?
Hey, Derek. Good morning. How are you, Larry?
Good. Doing pretty good.
Good. I got a couple of questions for you. My wife and I, we were talking about putting some kind of some edgings and a tree around the corner of the house, a smaller type of tree. And I just wondered if there was like a Japanese maple or something like that. Is there a type of tree that you kind of like that you feel is better than the others, kind of, you know, one that take root, be good, and doesn't grow too big and mess up the foundation of the house? And wondered your thoughts on planting trees closer to the house for kind of aesthetics and things like that, like a Japanese maple. But
right.
I know there are other ones out there, but I don't know which ones to think about.
Well, the Japanese maple is a good tree to put fairly close to the house. And you want to plant it about 8 feet away from the house when you do plant it. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it'll look a little lonely at first, but it'll grow into it. So give it room to grow. Keep in mind how big these plants are going to get when they get pretty good sized.
How big do those get? Do those get pretty big?
Well, it depends on the variety. Some of them, the Japanese maple as we know it, it gets about 20 by 20 feet at the most.
Okay.
So it gets to be a pretty good sized tree. There are other varieties that don't get so big. There's the weeping dissectum Japanese maple, and it, otherwise known as Crimson Queen Japanese maple, it gets at the most 10 by 10 feet. And it has a weeping habit. So if you have, say, for instance, a hill going down or something, you can build up a stony area and let it kind of hang over the stone.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of dramatically looks really nice. So that might be another choice, is the weeping Japanese maple. Now, Japanese maples, a lot of times in the wintertime, they get, if they're out in the sun, they'll get scald on the stems.
Well, my house faces it would be in the sunlight in the evening time. The west sun would hit it quite a bit in the evening time. So yeah. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. But,
yeah, in the summertime they have leaves on them that does a pretty good job of obscuring the sun from the stems itself. But what happens in the wintertime when it gets really cold and when the sun pops out, the semi-frozen sap that's in the stem tends to expand very quickly. And causes the tissues in there to explode, if you will, and then you get what we call sun scald. So that's kind of why we like to shade the Japanese maple in midday or something. Now there are some in town that are growing in full sun, doing just fine, and a lot of those are associated with a lot of wind and whatnot. So there you know, other factors that can dictate whether or not you get sun scald. Japanese maple in the winter. So, but anyway, once they get established, though, if they can get away from not getting that sun scald, they'll do pretty well in the full sun, as they have developed a different bark structure as they grow to compensate for that. So, a little bit of risk in planting them in full sun. So, Japanese maple, that's one kind of tree right there. Another one you might consider is a yopan holly. The yopan gets about the same size as the Japanese maple. And the beauty of it is you can train it to any shape you want.
Oh.
Yeah. So
really good. I would like that.
And they're evergreen, and it only requires pruning maybe once a year now. When I moved
that's the yopan holly, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of varieties of the yopan holly that will have different characteristics. I like the Pride of Houston. It's noted for a very heavy berry show. Yopan holly is very adaptable to our soil here, and it can tolerate a wide variety of growing conditions. However, if it is under stress from too heavy a soil, it will tend to want to form a bramble. In other words, it sends up suckers that come up all over the place. So you want to make sure your soil is prepared right so it doesn't tend to do that. So, but yopan, most of them that I've seen here in town really don't tend to bramble like that so much, especially the Pride of Houston. It tends to stay intact pretty well and not send up little suckers everywhere. So you want to consider getting a hybrid yopan holly such as that. And generally, that's pretty much all that's available. It's very difficult to come by what we call collected Japanese maples, which are caught in the wild, if you will.
So. My wife, Jen, is yelling at me. She wants me to ask you a question. We've got a neighbor, I don't know what tree it is, and I don't know if you want to address this or not, but there's a tree around here in our neighborhood, and man, does it stink this time of year, and I'm not sure which one it is. Do you know what the stinking trees are out there in our neighborhood? I mean, there are trees that kind of stink this time of the year, aren't there?
The Bradford pears, some people say the Bradford pears stink. And,
so that must be what it is then.
Probably
I got
so. But they
come
bloom.
Down the, she's wanting to know who to point the finger at there.
Does
Bradford pears are the stinking trees this time of year. All right, now I got one more question I need to ask. We planted last year some begonias.
Yeah.
And we had some other flowers out. But something was eating up on those begonia leaves out there, and I just didn't know. Is there anything you can put around or put on those begonias? I don't know what kind of bug it was, but something was eating those leaves up on those begonias. They didn't have a chance, really.
It could be anything from rabbits to squirrels to anything like that. Once a mammal like that finds a water source such as the begonia, they're going to keep going for it.
Okay.
So that can be a problem. Not all animals, and not everybody has the same problem with animals like that in the yard. Another thing it could be is a fungus disease that kind of looks like the leaves have been chewed on, but they somewhat collapse a little bit and turn a little crispy on the edge.
That's kind of what they look like. Okay. That's exactly what they look like.
Your soil is too heavy.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Yeah. Get a
what to do about that now?
Get you a bag of compost next time and work it into the soil real well, and they'll do a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get up here and let somebody else call in, but I appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend, great Saturday, and appreciate your help there, Larry.
Very good.
I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
And again, if you would like to make a call on this Saturday, the number to call is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, if you have any gardening questions, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, we've kind of been talking a little bit about annuals.
Mm-hmm.
You've been wanting to talk about fertilizing. What do people need to do fertilizing-wise?
If you fertilize your annuals as they're planted, we have a product called Color Star, which is very effective in a fairly long-term application fertilizer. They'll do that much better. I planted some impatiens in the backyard and then got in a small area, not really that large, about 15 feet long and about 3 feet wide, 5 bags of compost. And some Color Star fertilizer, and the impatiens are just taking off. They've rooted into it, and they're in just 1 week, and they're really starting to grow and do very well. Another fertilizer I like to use is Middle Oregonite, and it has a very good long-term effect on your annuals, and golly, you get all kinds of brilliant color with that stuff. It's got a lot of trace elements in it, so you might consider getting some, and you can spread it nilly-willy. Just kind of ignore the instructions, just kind of slather it around, if you will, and because it doesn't burn, and it does a very good job for fertilizing for a fairly long period of time. We did some commercial work last year where we planted a lot of annuals in an area, and we just picked them out nilly-willy and then planted them in the ground and then put the nilly-willy, meaning no real composition, and golly, they did well all summer long. So the fertilization of these annuals is very important for them to do well. They don't live generally in our native soil here. You don't see any wild begonias or wild periwinkles or things like that. So you do want to give some extra fertilizer for them to do well.
And they should be doing this now? They shouldn't be waiting?
Okay. Exactly. Do it now as you plant them. And then follow up with maybe a monthly application of, say, the Color Star. You don't have to do it quite as often with the Middle Oregonite, because it kind of releases its nutrients kind of slowly, and the decomposition process, it releases the nutrients as it goes on. So you can get away with fewer fertilizations, I would think, with the Middle Oregonite. But the Color Star really gives you good, brilliant color on your annuals and things. So time also to fertilize that Bermuda grass and your Zoysia grass. If they're starting to grow right now. The Bermuda grass is kind of up and running, and it's just kind of, it just peaked up right now. Usually, it's just frost date would just, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago was
yeah,
last
I think
frost
that was
date.
Probably the last time we talked. So you said it was going to frost one more time, and you were right.
And it did. But anyway, the Bermuda grass is, it sort of likes to stick its foot in the water a lot of times before it really grows. And then when it gets warm enough, when the nighttime temperatures are warmer than 57, it'll take off real well. So some people's Bermuda grass is kind of slow, some people's isn't. It depends on the exposure and the sun, the soil type, and all that plays a factor in when it wakes up and really starts to grow.
All right, Larry, we do have another caller for you on the
waiting
on the line, so we'll go ahead and take that, and I think we'll take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you on this Saturday?
Good morning. I just have a question. In the last couple of years, we've ended up with poison ivy on our fence, and we can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Now it's gradually, using scooting and scooting all over the place.
Yeah. Okay.
How do we get rid of it?
Now, poison ivy, how many leaves are on this per petiole on this vine?
I'm not looking at it right this second.
Okay.
But seems to me like it's three.
Okay, that's poison ivy, yeah.
And we don't know where it came from. We blame it on the birds.
Well, you're right on target there. So they do like to spread it around. They eat it, and I imagine that itches all the way down when they eat those seeds.
Wondering about that.
Yeah, and I'm sure the end result is a lot of relief, if you will. But anyway, they do spread it around because they have the berries that the birds really like. So getting rid of it, you want to wait till it's in pretty much full leaf and use a very specific and strong application of glyphosate or Roundup on it.
Well, I've been to Lowe's and Walmart, and mm-hmm. neither one carries a poison ivy one.
Yeah.
And so I guess I have to order it special or something.
Poison ivy killer, per se?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to look at the ingredients on that and see exactly what the chemical is they're using. And a lot of times it is glyphosate. And that's just different concentrations. And it all has to do with the labeling and directions and all that. So once you determine what the key ingredient is, you've got the ammunition to perhaps buy something that's not specifically labeled for poison ivy, but you can apply that same chemical to the poison ivy
plant.
Well,
I was wondering if they didn't carry it at these stores, if it's really too bad. So bad that they're not carrying it,
yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't use it.
We have a product at the nursery called Sucker Punch, and that'll probably kill it out.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay,
so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to the Green Country Gardener. We'll be right back with more of your Green Country Gardener show and more of your calls if you have any. 918-336-1400. 1-800-749-5936 is the number to call. Again, if you have questions for Larry Glass here on the Green Country Gardener. We'll be right back.
Even believe in myself.
The cooking, cleaning, laundry, and car rides. I can't begin to list all the things my mom has done for me.
You can recognize your mom and give her a special gift too in the My Mom's Priceless Contest.
Simply stop by one of the businesses giving away a prize to register.
Now through Thursday, we'll be giving away a daily prize on the radio weekdays at 8 a.m. to 1 mom.
The daily prize will be two passes to current exhibition and tower tour at Price Tower Arts Center and Mom Knows Best Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Then on Friday, just in time for Mother's Day, we'll draw from the grand prize from all entries. The winner will receive one night stay at the end of Price Tower Arts Center, a gallery tour, and a tower tour for two, a $20 Copper Bar gift certificate, a $300 ladies shopping spree from Dillard's Washington Park Mall, a bouquet of flowers from Flowerland.
Runner-up prize will also be drawn for a one night stay at the inn at Price Tower, a gallery tour,
and a $20 Copper Bar gift certificate. Stop by each of these businesses and register in the My Mom's Priceless Contest.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Peters True Value in Dewey has a whopping deal just for you. If you're wanting to spruce up the walls in your home but can't seem to decide on the color, Peters has the Easy Care Paint Sample Kit that includes everything you need to choose your color with confidence for just $7. The paint sample kit includes a pint sample of color, mini roller and tray, paint and stick sheet, and includes a coupon book with $50 in coupon savings. Plus, includes $7 off your next gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium Paint. Hurry while supplies last at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass on this Saturday. May the 4th be with you, right, Larry?
Exactly. May the 4th be with you. Well, you don't have much of a choice. It's here. It's with you. So may the 4th be with you.
Definitely here with you.
Fertilization on your grass, though, you can enhance color on your lawn by adding a fertilizer that has sulfur and iron in it, and that'll give you a deeper green color. So if your yard's kind of yellow looking, maybe the pH is off perhaps, or maybe it just needs some iron too.
And you have iron at the nursery?
We have fertilizer that contains iron, right? Okay. Milorganite has 5% iron in it, which doesn't stain. And we do have some that has other iron, 4%. Golly, I think it's another 4% in our Greenmaker fertilizer, and it'll enhance the color a lot. So your grass isn't so yellowy looking; it'll darken it real good. So anyway, that's kind of the story on fertilizer right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have a problem with mites and lace bugs coming up. So brace for impact on that. Now, spider mites are not an insect, so the insecticides, generally, some of them don't work on that. I like to use, on the mites, say, neem oil or synthesized pyrethroid.
That's hard for me to say, synthesized.
Yeah, synthesized pyrethroid works pretty well against mites. And Dawn soap works pretty well, too.
Interesting.
So to control mites, it smothers them, if you will, with a layer of film over their skin. They can't breathe. So anyway, watch out for those. They're coming up real soon. For the lace bugs on azaleas, almost every house I go has lace bugs, and they say, what is wrong with these things? The color is army green. It's not a real nice green color. Mm-hmm. And I say, you have lace bugs that have eaten all the chlorophyll out of your leaves. Oh, so now's the time. Get a ground floor opportunity to control lace bug in your azaleas right now and put on the systemic insecticide.
Go to Walmart, buy all the Dawn soap you can get, and fight the fight.
I guess so. Yeah. But anyway, we do have a good selection of imidacloprid, which will control that.
So. Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to buy the Dawn soap.
No, Dawn soap, yeah. We don't have any Dawn soap, no. But that's a good organic way to do it. Neem oil is another way, but you have to be consistent with it. It has to contact the insect. So neem oil is unique in how it works. It makes a pretty good fungicide. And it also has the physical effect of smothering insects. And it also is a life cycle interrupter.
Okay.
Meaning the metamorphosis on the insect as it grows is arrested pretty much with that. And they just kind of go.
How consistent do you have to be with that? You were mentioning that consistency with the oil.
Fairly well consistent. Okay. Yeah, you want to get a pretty good sized container of it and keep up with it. I spray that on my fruit trees, and it keeps the bugs under control real well.
Okay.
And you can put the sprayer in one hand and spray it and pick it in the right hand. You know, it's that safe. So, okay. So neem oil is a good broad spectrum fungicide, insecticide. So read up on it. I think you'll be pleased with how it works and how harmless it is to mammals and humans.
And you're thinking that this would be, I'll just kind of get a perspective here, that it should be for about like a month you should be doing this, or a couple months? Is that?
They do have on the instructions, depends on the concentration, the temperature, okay, and all that. They have different intervals in which you can apply it. But you can over apply it to plants. It can cause some leaf damage to the plant, but it generally doesn't hurt it. So just be careful and mix it up properly. Try not to mix it up too strong. And go at the recommended intervals of application. And it'll do fine. Roses also, we got a good selection of roses. And of course, the black spots might be a bit of a problem this year with all the humidity and rain we're having. So you want to be aware of that. And the copper fungicide works rather well to control that. It's a somewhat organic, if you will. It doesn't have a lot of bad side effects that some of the others do. So anyway, you can use that to control the black spot. Another thing you can do is get a drift rose or knockout rose or a Julia Child rose. We have some others too that really don't get that much of a problem. And we're taking extra care to try to keep the roses off the ground this year and putting them on a bench. And we're delegating the irrigation to dry zones, if you will. And the roses are incorporated into that dry zone. We're going to do a little programming on the timer, too, to let that irrigate last instead of first, so it's exposed to the water the least amount of time.
Okay.
So plant your roses on the east side of the house. It gets the first morning light like that. Let the force be with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. It gets the first morning light, and the leaves tend to dry out a lot quicker from the dew that settles on the on the leaves, which fungus really do like. And also spacing your roses out properly. Either treat them as specimen plants or put them 3-4 feet apart so they have a chance to breathe. and try to keep them away from the house a little bit. Most people really like to plant them right next to the house. Well, you can't access the back of it very easily. So if you're going to have a rose bed, keep it away from the house. Perhaps if there's a sidewalk over there and you have a narrow strip of land between the house and the sidewalk, you might consider putting it on the outside of the sidewalk rather than on the inside, so it gets good air circulation and you can access it from both sides.
Is there anything else that people need to know about with roses? We talked about spacing and making sure it's on the east side of your house so it gets the first morning light.
Good drainage.
To kind of soak up drainage. Okay.
Good drainage is very important. They don't like wet feet. A lot of people lose their roses to root rot. That's the number one cause for people's plants dying, and is root rot. But anyway, try to keep it in an area that's well drained. Raised beds do very well. If you really, really want some roses, you might consider constructing a raised bed out in the middle of the yard. And it could be anything from some really nice landscape stones, retaining wall blocks, or railroad ties, or just a hill of soil that's been prepared, just so the water doesn't settle in and then has a chance to dry out between irrigating on the rose.
I think I finally understand why people say you're delicate like a rose. I can definitely tell that roses are very delicate when it comes to gardening and stuff like that.
Oh, quite the contrary. Roses are very tough.
Really?
But once the prerequisite criteria are met, then they'll be really long-lasting, easy-to-manage plants.
Okay.
So.
Cool. And how many roses did you say you have on sale at the nursery?
Tons.
Tons and tons of roses just waiting for somebody to take them home?
Yeah, we do have a few knockouts. The rosette's disease, though, is pretty bad. It's been bad for a lot of people who have lost all their roses because of that. And those that had been lost by the rosette's disease typically are associated close to a concrete or on the west side of the house or someplace where it does get warm enough to attract the mites that go after the roses. So if you have an area that's, say, open paving all around it, it's almost a sure bet you're going to get rosettes. I have some knockout roses on the north side of my house. Never have any sign of the rosettes disease. They've been there for 10 years, doing just fine. The cherry trees have grown up and shaded them out a little bit, but they're blooming right now, so they don't seem to mind. And but if you do plan your roses carefully, and like I mentioned earlier, keeping them away from the house, you got that strip of land between the sidewalk and the house, put your roses on the other side and work a bed around that. I think you'll have much better luck.
Okay. Well, it's 8:45. We're going to go ahead and take a break here on the Green Country Gardener, and we'll be right back. If you have any calls you'd like to make or questions you'd like to ask Larry Glass about gardening or anything else regarding gardening, just give us a call at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nuwata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nuwata Road.
Say, Myrtle, look out there in the pantry. Ain't that cute?
What's cute?
Your new shelf paper with all them cute little fellers on them. The ants acting like you're going to a picnic carrying all that food.
You darn fool. Put your glasses on because them there are real ants moving about.
Well, I'll be. Look, there's one crawling up my pant leg.
I'm going to call Pratt Pass to Bartlesville right now.
We can't get ants out of your pants, but we sure can get them out of your pantry. Call 918-336-BUGS. That's 918-336-2847 for Pratt Pest of Bartlesville.
Are you turning 65 and trying to decide what you should do about Medicare? Are you signed up for Part D? Should you sign up for Part B? Do you buy a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan? Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate. If all that sounds confusing, that's because it is. My staff at Benefits by Design can take the confusion out of Medicare by explaining your options and letting you decide which one is right for you. Call today for more information, 913-385-2224, 913-385-2224.
Enjoy marketing? K1 KYFM KRIG KPGM Radio is looking for an account executive to join our team. The position is for outside sales, offering radio and digital advertising in Bartlesville and across Northeast Oklahoma and Southeast Kansas. Start with a guaranteed salary leading to commissions with benefits, including profit sharing. No sales experience is required, but is preferred. Applications available at BartlesvilleRadio.com under employment opportunities. Direct questions and submissions to jobs at BartlesvilleRadio.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener, the man with the emerald thumb. Larry Glass is joining us in the studio. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, feel free to give us a call at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And I know those numbers can be a little pesky, and I might be reading fast, so I'll give those numbers again. It's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry... Slugs. We're going to be talking about slugs. What do people need to be knowing about slugs there, Larry?
Slugs. Golly, if the French were to cook them up, you'd be wanting them. But anyway, they are actually related to snails. So, but anyway, slugs, there's several ways to control slugs. I like to use just sawdust, diatomaceous earth. Works really well. Coarse sand works real well, too. Come by the nursery, we'll give you a little bucket of sand. And they don't like it. It itches their little toes, so they kind of stay away from that. Beer works pretty well, too. Beer in a pie tin buried into the ground. I know the dog would probably be walking sideways. but they are attracted to beer, and it will catch a lot of slugs that way. But with the way we like to use stones and whatnot in our landscape, they're kind of hard to keep under control. So there are several ways. Slug baits, and there's slug pellets and other things too. So it's just part of life, and you're just going to have to try to control it as best you can. And there's several methods by which it can be done. So slugs are a bit of a problem too. Bagworms. It's been a while since we've had a big bagworm outbreak. Not the tent caterpillars. You remember that 2 years ago on the pecan trees? They all looked like it was like Halloween in August. It was it was really bad. But the bagworms are the ones that attack junipers, little cocoons that hang on the plants, and it'll actually strip when clean. So year before last, we had a small outbreak, but it was very specifically located on the plants. It really wasn't as broad base as it has been in the past. I think it might have something to do with the cold temperatures or in the winter. Who knows? Who knows what? But anyway... So we're due for a good year for bagworms. So you can be prepared for those, and just be aware. Look closely at your plants. Kind of smell your junipers. When the bagworms come in, they kind of smell like that junipery smell. It's kind of a juniper smell, if you will, pretty strong. So then apply the Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT, or Thuricide. It's a very effective control for the bagworms.
Okay.
The BT is a bacterial culture that paralyzes, it's a bacteria that paralyzes the digestive tract of the bagworm. So, and other animals in that phase of their life. Be very careful how you apply this and don't get it near your butterfly garden because you won't have any butterfly. So, but keep it very specific, if you will, the applications of the Thuricide so you don't affect bee populations. So anyway, that's kind of it on the bagworms and the tent caterpillars and stuff going on. So at the nursery, golly, we talked about new herbs, new Japanese maples. We got some small ones too. We got some great hibiscus, some big ones and some little ones. They came the other day, so those are in full color in pots, and you can put them in pots or in the garden. They make really good potted plants, and they're very showy all summer long. Remember, they do prefer full sun. We have a whole bunch of impatiens and begonias and some of the giant begonias. Mm-hmm. We have some of those too. So,
I think we might have a caller, Larry. Do you want to go ahead and take that really quick?
Sure, go
and
ahead.
Then we'll probably take a break. Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Yeah. I've got carpenter ants in the roots of a pecan tree. How do you get rid of them bugs?
The diatomaceous earth will probably work on those. Diatomaceous earth works physiologically. It scratches their skin and they dry out, literally. They just kind of dry up. That's one way to control it. Ant traps. I don't know if ant traps work pretty well on that, but there are a lot of insecticides that, you can use to control the ants. But
will that eventually kill my tree, the ants?
The carpenter ants, I'm not overly certain on their what they actually. I think they just eat decomposed wood, really. I don't know that they go for the live stuff. If anybody out there knows that, you might call in and educate us about that.
About I've heard that too, that they didn't eat the live wood. I go by with a mower and they just swarm out of there.
Oh yeah, and they're big old things too. Let's make a sci-fi movie, but
yeah. All right, thank you.
But yeah, you might try the diatomaceous earth and also the borax works pretty well too on that. So try that too. I think that mix up some borax and sugar and put it in there. That'll probably get rid of them pretty quick.
Okay, thank you.
Okie doke. Thanks for calling. Anyway. At the nursery, lots of impatiens, begonias. You might try this year some of the sun-tolerant coleus. It's been a mainstay in my garden for years. And a big mass of red foliage or yellow colored foliage in there, too. And it's a very hardy. Golly, they lasted all summer long. They never wilted. And the sun coleus is a very showy coleus plant. It one drawback is it does tendency to have blooms on it. It is a member of the mint family, so it has a square stem, but it does tend to bloom, and you want to nip those blooms off because they're not overly attractive.
Okay. Larry, I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll talk more about what's happening at the nursery.
Sure.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday. Larry Glass is in the studio with me, has been for the last hour or so, and it has been a pleasure. Larry, what's happening? What else is happening, I should say?
Well, in addition to sun coleus, which really puts on a brilliant show in the sun, there's sun impatience, or sun patience are called. They take the imp out of it. They just call it sun patience. And anyway, they tolerate the sun. They're a little bit thirsty, so do a big old ground prep when you do them so they can have all their roots can stretch out real far in that soil. Anyway, sun patience to put on a really nice show. The kaleidoscope abelia is a shrub that gives you some brilliant yellow leaf color, and it's a smaller shrub. It doesn't get too awful big. For the summertime in the sun, it gives you some very brilliant yellow show on that too, very showy. And then there's Rose Creek abelia, which gives you some red colors here and there. I don't know if we have any this year or not, but anyway, it's a very good abelia plant. Mm-hmm. So abelia is one that the breeders have been having a lot of fun with, the different leaf shapes and colors and sizes and all that. They're doing that with a lot of plants too. So anyway, come check out what's new over there on that. It's time to maybe think about an irrigation system. And we put the newest technology in on the irrigation. And you can bet I've got some that have been in the ground over 30 years without a problem. So it's all in the engineering. Yep. So, and it's something you have to do, just like anything. You just can't put it in without really knowing what's going on with how they're engineered and how the water flows and the characteristics and physics of water. You have to know all that stuff a little bit mm-hmm. before you can really put one in. So anyway, irrigation systems, get a rain sensor. We sell irrigation systems with an internet-ready timer, which is the coolest thing. You can come out in your backyard, punch the go button, and on your telephone, and the sprinkler turns on.
Yeah, that's and we have fun. Just a couple more seconds. You also do landscaping, right?
Uh-huh. Landscaping. We do landscape plans. You can choose to do it yourself, or you can have us install it right now. With all this rain, we're getting behind schedule. So what else is new?
And where can people find you at?
Green Thumb Nursery.
Where is that located?
4605 Nowater Road. Keep your shovel sharp. We shall see you next week.
What are your retirement plans? Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K2.